It's time for the MMA Insiders.
All right, here we go. The MMA Insiders on a Thursday. ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM here in Las Vegas. Mark Seidel working the controls. Adam Hill along in just a second. Brett Okamoto, ESPN.com. Feels like it should be a slow week, but it's not. There's a lot to talk about coming out of UFC 209 here in Vegas, and a lot to look forward to with future matchups and a fight card. So busy time. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I would agree. It always seems like a weekend will come up. We'll be like, the fights aren't that good this weekend, and then it turns out to be one of like the craziest. And I wouldn't say it's crazy in terms of like news coming out, but just like there are plenty of topics to talk about right now.
I think it's going to be a rarity when we have a slow week ever again. One, because of the volume of fight cards. Two, now that you have new ownership and the fighters are more emboldened than ever to bitch about money publicly, complain about fights, hold out from fights. Like we've got boxing-like drama, but unlike boxing, you know, was 15 years ago, it's all the time because they've got 400 fighters.
That's exactly right. It is. A lot of the times, you know, is this fight going to come together? You hear through the grapevine, or there's a lot of smoke around a potential matchup, but the UFC hasn't announced it yet, and so then we're speculating as to why. And then a lot of the negotiations for a fight have gone public, and I think that was obviously kind of started with the whole Conor McGregor UFC 200 thing, and it snowballed, and other guys are taking his approach. Now it's just absolutely nonstop.
I've always put Conor up as a hero while these other fighters were dummies. You know, the last couple of years, we're like, why is he getting everything? It's going to be good for you. Yeah. When he starts talking about money publicly, that's a good thing. So let's start out with our MMA 6, with number 6 this week, with Khabib Nurmagomedov. So he misses weight.
Yep.
Best fight on the card, most, you know, highly anticipated fight goes bye-bye from last Saturday's card. I'm going to plant a flag on this one. I'm not going to go crazy about whatever note there was that he was eating tiramisu.
Why not go crazy? I love crazy.
You can explain it. But, I've got a couple issues with weight misses. First of all, I believe it's now on the side of the commissions and the promotion to do what boxing does for some major fights. There needs to be a weigh-in on Monday. You get here, let's have a number. At 135, you got to be 151. You know, 185, you got to be 202. Whatever. That's one thing to safeguard it. But the other part of it is, when you miss weights, you suffer. So the notion that, we want Tony Ferguson, Khabib so badly, let's make it as quickly as we can. No, screw that. You go down the ladder, Khabib. You aren't disciplined. And was there some legit medical deal that he can lean on as an excuse, or did he just mismanage this whole deal?
I mean, I hate to put all the onus on a 100% of the onus on a fighter, because I do believe that these guys are just cutting so much weight that it does make it possible, I guess. But at the same time, I got to agree with what Tony Ferguson basically told me, and that is, if you've made it to this level, then you make weight. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing it for a long time. You know, he doesn't come from the collegiate wrestling atmosphere, but Sambo has weight classes. He's been doing it his whole career. This is a big fight. This is a fight that he was supposed to make $500,000 as his disclosed purse on. It's a fight that Tony Ferguson changes his life, changes his career. So, yeah, I do put blame on Khabib. How do you... I don't disagree with you in terms of, well, he's got to pay for it somehow, but practically, trying to figure out what that punishment is, I mean, what can you do? You really can't do anything.
I would say he doesn't get Ferguson, he doesn't get a shot at the interim title, but guess who that screws over?
That's a romantic way of looking at it. Yeah, practically, you can't do that.
Guess who that screws over? Ferguson.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to penalize Khabib, and then Ferguson gets screwed. But I would love to see him, you know, just, hey, technically, you're down a couple of spots in the rankings, and you got to fight your way now to get to Ferguson.
It didn't hurt Kelvin Gastelum either, when you think about it. Kelvin Gastelum missed out on UFC 205 in New York. Donald Cerrone got completely the short end in that situation, didn't get to fight at Madison Square Garden, and Gastelum just turned around and fought the next month, still got his show and win. He fought Tim Kennedy, got a big win, and everyone's kind of forgotten about it now. There's not a good answer in terms of, well, what can you do to penalize these guys, because to a certain extent, like, no one's going to get on board with saying, oh, you missed weight, so now the UFC can like reach into your pockets, or the commission can reach into your pockets, or And it's a great idea to say, hey, you just fall down the rankings, but you can't. You can't do that. It's just not how it works.
Voice of reason. That's why I can't stand him. Fred Okamoto, ESPN.com. That's why he's on the show. And insider information, which I know you have on this money deal with Tony Ferguson, because I was reading some tweets the other day. Dave Doyle, MMA, says, you know, Ferguson not getting full show money because he didn't want to take a pay cut to face Michael Johnson, which we'll explain here in a second. And then Sean Alshady from MMAfighting.com said, world-class athlete, does everything asked of him in Tony Ferguson, loses career-changing opportunity through no fault of his own, still gets shortchanged. So take people through what happened the last couple of days there, where Khabib is out, Ferguson is offered a fight, but then they don't even offer Ferguson the same amount of money, but he's got to take the risk of, you know, taking on a tough fight on like 2 days' notice.
Yeah, so once Khabib fell off, you know, Tony Ferguson was scheduled to make a certain amount of money in this fight, obviously. You have a contract. His contract, at least the disclosed purses to the Nevada Commission, was $250,000 to show, $250,000 to win. That is specific to a title fight. You got to keep that in mind. You know, that's how these contracts work. This is what you make if you're fighting for a title. So then once Nurmagomedov fell off, then it's like, okay, well, how do we salvage this? Do we still make it a title fight? What does Tony get? What are the options? Michael Johnson was putting his hand up for the fight, but it doesn't sound like it would have been a title fight. So then, just based on Tony Ferguson's contract, he would have been offered less. And I know that upsets a lot of people, and I get their reasoning. They're saying that if Tony Ferguson is willing to take a risk of facing a last-second opponent change, he should be getting the exact same amount of money. And that is easy. That's easy to understand why people feel that way. And I'm not going to sit here and argue that Tony Ferguson should have been paid less or he should have gotten his full money, whatever the case is. But I do think a lot of people are just completely ignoring the fact that the UFC is also impacted by Khabib missing the fight. Are they really going to give Tony Ferguson the exact same amount of money, $500,000, for a fight that now does not sell pay-per-views? Like, I saw a lot of people saying, like, well, oh, this money was already allocated to Ferguson, so why are you going to pull it back from him? It was allocated to Ferguson based on the assumption that he was fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov and it was going to sell a certain amount of pay-per-views. So, again, I'm not arguing against Tony Ferguson receiving his full show money. I just want everybody to talk about the whole thing, talk about the whole conversation. Because I think by putting out a tweet that says, oh, world-class athlete, he didn't get paid, he did everything on his part, that's all true. But it's also completely ignoring the reality of the world we live in, and that do you really expect the UFC to pay Tony Ferguson $500,000 to fight Michael Johnson when that fight is not going to sell any pay-per-view? It's just not a realistic way of thinking.
But I think we also know behind the scenes with discretionary bonuses and income that it's not always about just pure numbers and pay-per-view. People are often rewarded by the UFC, and this is a difficult subject to talk about, and that's why I hate discussing it. It's a secret society with the UFC behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But we know they pay some of their talent as a reward sometimes. Hey, good job. Great job on the promotion. Even when they don't, you know, maybe they don't have the numbers yet on how good a pay-per-view is going to do. Come on. Tony Ferguson has been a company guy. This is what drives me nuts when they'll arbitrarily flip on Donald Cerrone. It's like you have, you know, 10 or 12 truly reliable, I'll fight, you know, every 2 months, I bring it every freaking time. Mm-hmm. I'll lay my life on the line. I mean, look, come on. Look at Tony Ferguson just from a face standpoint. Not to rip on the guy, but he is already looking like a fighter. Like, he's busted up. He's going to be one of those guys. You're going to know he's a fighter down the road. Just pay him.
Yeah.
And it's easier for me to say that. And I know, you know, they just spent $4.2 billion, but sometimes you just treat guys. Certain guys deserve to get treated the right way. Certain women deserve to get treated the right way.
And I don't disagree. I am not coming out here and taking an anti-fighter pay stance
yes,
on
you
this.
Are.
What you know what it does? Again, for the millionth time, it highlights the need for a collective bargaining agreement so that there are standards in place for when this happens. Guys know exactly what's going to take place. This was a crappy situation for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just another example of why don't you guys get it together, and whatever the case is, if you want to go with Bjorn, if you want to go with the CAA movement, if you want to go with Jeff Boris, you know, there needs to be some type of collective bargaining agreement that clearly outlines what happens in these situations, because then you are just at the mercy of the UFC. Because what a lot of people don't know is that contractually, they don't have to give him anything, you know? So I just sometimes when these situations comes up, I feel awful for the athletes because I do feel like by and large, just in general, they're underpaid. But then also I'm just like, you guys have had years to get it together. Like I've talked to just hundreds of these guys and their motivation is not there to get it together. Right. And it's like, well, here's another situation where that would sure help out, you know?
That is a good response. For each fighter gets screwed over, and then you ask them, hey, what have you done to be part of the union to try to bond together? You know, have you been selfish or have you tried to be a team player? Because a lot of them just look at, you know, the next 3 months and that's basically their whole goal. And it's like, you only have power in numbers, not to sit here and, you know, be Mr. Labor guy, but that's the only way you're going to get something standardized so that you don't get jacked.
Well, and a lot of them have the mindset that you were referring to of like, I am a company guy. I've picked up, you know, the slack when it needed to. I've given them some great entertaining fights.
Yeah.
You know, I've headlined a card when the main event fell through, and they expect that goodwill is going to be paid back to them. And just history suggests that you cannot rely on that.
Guess what? That's every business.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's every business.
No, I agree with
right?
that.
Right? How many of us are like, hey, I'm a company guy. You know, believe me, I put in plenty. This isn't hard work, but I put in plenty of extra time, and this company's really good. Watch what happens if, you know, I slip one day. And, you know, something is said on the air that isn't cool or an F-bomb or something. Like, it's not, you know, you don't get to go in front of your bosses and go, hey, what about the all these years of service? They're,
yeah.
Because they have bosses, too, who are like, yeah, we don't even know who he is. What'd he do? Get him out.
Don't let it happen on this show. I don't want that memory on me.
All right, let's move on to, I'm going to let you guys handle this. Number four on MMA 6. So Adam Hill is here, coveringthecage.com. Berto Komodo, ESPN.com. I'm seriously backing out because I have strong feelings on this, but I know you guys are going to go at it. Disputed decision, a lot of discussion, main event, UFC 209. Woodley Thompson. Winds up being a 48-47 fight on two cards, 47-47 on the other. I saw a lot of media scores that had 48-48. 49-48.
That was mine.
Go ahead. I'll leave it at this. I'm seriously going to walk out of the studio and get a drink. Try not to go longer than 5 minutes. 10-10 rounds don't exist. They're stupid, but I know you guys are on different sides of this, so I will let you have the debate.
I know Brett is very strong, and he was certainly the most vocal on Twitter, so I'll let you go first with your... All right. Theory on why there should be.
Well, I'll try and keep this brief, and I actually think we should probably describe the fight a little bit just in case people didn't see it, because I think that's probably a good chance, right, that some people out there listening did not.
Are you saying based on the numbers that a lot of people didn't watch this fight?
Based on, yeah. I don't think this was a high-selling pay-per-view, and if you read the reviews of it, you probably weren't trying to stream it illegally afterwards or buy it afterwards. You weren't trying to do any of that. So in the first two rounds of this fight, and actually let's keep it to the first round because the first round was even a more clear example. Nothing happened. Literally nothing happened. Tyron Woodley...
I think literally is the right word.
Yeah. Okay.
So nobody threw a punch and nobody landed. No, nothing happened.
No, nobody not, threw anything. Not significant. Nobody landed anything? No, nothing. Nothing
okay,
significant.
But that's still... Nothing significant is still not literally nothing.
Literally nothing significant happened. Tyron Woodley was standing with his back to the fence. Stephen Thompson was standing about 2 feet away from him, kind of fainting a little bit. And Fight Metric, I think, counted 5 strikes landed for each guy. I went back and watched and thought that was probably generous. I thought it was like 3 strikes landed for Woodley, Stephen Thompson maybe 2 or 3. And that sounds crazy, but that is... literally what happened.
Okay.
And the hardest strike of the fight, of the round, of those 5 minutes, was probably like an inside leg kick that did not buckle the knees of anybody. It was nothing, okay? And so here's my argument. If 10-10 rounds exist, then that is it. Because you will never see another round in which less happens. I don't think you will. I really don't think it's even possible for a round to happen in which less happens than what we saw in that 5 minutes. And
oh,
yet
it's possible.
Yet all 3 judges gave that round to Stephen Thompson. So I'm asking myself, why did they do it? And the only reason that they could have done it is because he happened to be standing in the middle of the octagon and Tyron Woodley was standing on the outside of the octagon. And my argument is that assumes that Tyron Woodley didn't want to be on the outside of the octagon. Because if you look at the numbers, he actually landed a higher clip. He was more efficient. than Stephen Thompson was.
Is efficient part of it?
Sure.
You're like land 3 out of 3, it's not as good as like 12 out of 17.
But if that's the only discerning stat that we have, because so little happened, I'm just wondering how in the world can you give that round to Thompson?
Well, I think for a couple reasons. First of all, I think the argument is more not about that round, but whether they exist or not. And I don't think that they, I don't think they should, and I don't think they necessarily do. I mean, there's a thing, but I think if over 5 minutes of action, somebody did more to deserve the round. And I think it's very simplistic, and I know where you're going with it, to say, oh, because his back was against the cage, we're going to say he didn't win the round. Because I don't think it was just that. I think it was the fact that Thompson was moving forward, and every time he would move forward, Woodley would then move out and circle around. So he wasn't just backed against the cage, and Thompson was just standing in front of him, like, and then nothing was happening. Thompson was pursuing him the whole time. And I don't necessarily like, well, if you're pursuing the person, you're winning. Because I think there's a strategy to counterattacking, as they both had.
Uh-huh.
But I do think that Thompson was the one that was trying to dictate the action. Woodley was the one that didn't want to engage. Neither one of them wanted to engage. We know that because we heard him talk about that afterwards. But I think Thompson was the more aggressive of the two in that round. And I don't think it was necessarily just one. It wasn't where they were positioned. It was what their actions were during the round. And I watched it, and I thought that. And I thought that Thompson also, I think the numbers I saw were 8-8. I don't know where the ones that you saw were. But I thought Thompson's 8, if there was 8, were more effective than Woodley's 8 that they landed in the round. And I didn't think, I actually thought watching the round, I was like, definitely a Thompson round. I didn't even consider Woodley, and I certainly didn't consider 10-10 because I never do. I don't think that they exist. I think over 5 minutes, you have to decide which one did more of the action or which one won that round. And well, I thought Thompson won the round.
Well, can we just say that they don't exist then? I mean,
I'm fine with that.
Okay, then I'd be fine with that as well. But then you have, you know, Bob Bennett coming out and saying from the Athletic Commission that they do exist and that he doesn't discourage his judges from using them. But, like,
he does discourage his judges from using them.
Well, he's like, I don't. It was kind of like a double answer to it. He's like, no, I don't tell my judges what to score, but I do tell them that over the course of 5 rounds, a high level judge should be able to pick a winner. So he's kind of saying it without saying it. But okay, can we just all acknowledge that they don't exist then? Because they do in the rules. It says 10-10. If you can't discern a winner,
If you can't, and I think it's a cop out for one, and I also think, as Bennett said, maybe it's more of a beginner level. And it's also, I think I think they exist for, all right, we're just going to go out there and listen. It's, of course, an extreme example. All right, we're just going to both stand there and look at each other. But then it's 10-10.
That's basically what happened. And
it's not what happened.
It is. That's what happened. I didn't see any advantage for Stephen Thompson. I don't know how Stephen Thompson walked out of that round and was like, yeah, I've got this guy. I'm doing what I want to do. Like, no. And if you scored that way, so what was your final score of the fight?
I had it 48-47 for Thompson.
That's ludicrous. That's insanity.
It's not.
What were the only things?
No,
the,
I know.
The
it,
only
I know you're
things
say that
happened
yeah,
was a takedown of Tyron Woodley.
Though.
It's not the rule. The rules are, if nothing happens in the first, if nothing happens,
but
you don't have a winner in
the
first round.
And Woodley dominated two.
That's
under
terrible.
The rules, it's 3-2, and
no,
he wins.
Because the rules,
and I understand you look at it at the end and you say, Woodley's the only one that did anything, and he had two rounds.
The rules allow you to score a round tied, and you did not do it, Adam.
If you want
to, you have that rule available to you.
I don't. I don't think there's such thing. I think
it's
like
written
I said,
in the rules. It is written that you have that option.
If you
it's
can't
there.
Discern, yes. If you
which
can't
you
discern,
can't.
Yes,
you
can.
Can't
I
it.
Could.
No, absolutely not.
I
You're
absolutely
crazy.
Could. You're just not a high level judge.
Oh my God!
Clearly,
it's a travesty if you give that fight to Stephen Thompson based on what where he was standing in the first round, because that's
not
really
where he was
what
standing. Again,
to.
That's not what it is. That's not what the judge. It's not.
Oh, because he was standing. So why wasn't he throwing more? I mean, if your base, if the
well,
basis,
he explained why he didn't.
If the basis of your argument is that he was chasing him around, but he didn't throw, and then yes, he did. He did explain it after the fight. He said the reason I didn't throw is because you got to be careful with that guy. So
Woodley said the same thing.
So
why are you putting that voice to it?
If Woodley is presenting such a dangerous threat from standing where he was, that it's preventing Thompson from throwing the strikes that he wants, then isn't that
Woodley,
isn't that evidence
Woodley
that,
said the same thing.
That he's doing what he wants to do as well?
Thing. He didn't move forward because he was scared of what Thompson
exactly, and that's why I,
no,
I scored
Thompson
it a draw.
Was,
I didn't
but,
score it for Woodley.
But I thought Thompson's strikes were more effective, as I already said. I thought his strikes were more effective, and I thought Woodley was not in a position where he was like, okay, I'm looking for my opportunity. He was backing away. He didn't want to engage in it, and I could definitely determine that from watching that round. And I heard what they both said afterwards. You can't take that into consideration because you don't know. First of all, you shouldn't read into their game plan, and you shouldn't listen to what they say. But watching the fight, that's what was going on. They were both scared of the other guy. Well, but I thought Thompson was the one.
You actually made a point on Twitter, and I think you were half joking, but I think you were correct in that you said, "Well, then why did the judges come back and score the second round for Woodley then?"
Right,
because
well, I know why
because
they did.
They're trying to
no,
make
they're
it
trying
a tie.
To even out. Of course they
so,
are.
So what that is telling you is that they actually thought that it was a tie.
No, it's that they're not doing the job the way that they're supposed to do.
Okay,
it. That's what they're doing.
Well, I think if they saw it as a tie, they should have scored it as a tie from the get go. Clearly, they did. So
no,
you've got,
it's
you've
because
got...
they were uncomfortable with the scoring system where Thompson edged out the first two rounds and they had him up like an insurmountable number after two rounds based on just slightly winning each round. They didn't like that, so they made their own rules. That's what they did. It was completely unacceptable.
And that's evidence of them not feeling that they can score a 10-10. It's because people don't know. No one knows if 10-10 actually exists because technically it does, but they don't feel like they can use it. So that's a problem.
Of course
it's
a problem.
All right, I got to cut it off. You guys can do this over drinks. Yeah, it was good. I was here the whole time. Come on. I took out the garbage.
You're just disappointed in the Rutgers score?
This is also why they need to put in half-point scoring. It would solve a lot of that. 8.5, 9.5, 9. You could score a 10, 9.5. There'd still be some issues, but yeah. I think we'd clear up a lot of it. Let's take a break. We'll get to another intense debate. Brett Okamoto, ESPN.com. Adam Hill, Las Vegas Review Journal. Adam gave us about 14 minutes the other day on this. Oh, it was great radio. Mark Seidel got all worked up. We now bring in Joe Rogan into the discussion. Human v. Wolf. Who wins?
MMA Insider Show.